hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbites of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth." Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8
to 9:30 p.m.
Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children." Yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be good.
Good evening to everyone. We thank God for another Saturday. This is Eben, and I'm going to be with you from now till 9:30 p.m. We thank God for the gift of life. We thank God for keeping us through the week and bringing us through Saturday. It's always a pleasure to come your way. Indeed, the times are something else. You know, we are living in times no generation can be compared to this one, because the things we are seeing is just something beyond the normal. And I'm talking in respect to Bible prophecy regarding the things documented in the Word of God as signs prior to the coming of the Lord. And, you know, previous generations saw things, but it can't be compared to what we are seeing. And that's the sense of this program. In one aspect, we talk about some of the things happening in the form of the news, the things unfolding and all that. And I've been talking about building our faith in these times we are in, especially for the times ahead. And tonight I'll be continuing on this series as well. First, we look at the news, then we move on to a few other things. So, we thank God, and greetings to our listeners elsewhere beyond Kumasi, those online in Accra and beyond Ghana, other places. Greetings to all of you. We are starting with the news, where we have this week a few earthquakes happening. South Carolina rocked by two of the largest quakes in years, and the quake swarm continues, residents on edge. And so they had number of quakes this week in South Carolina. Then Iran, back-to-back 6.3 earthquakes strike Iran, felt in UAE, and deaths reported. So 6.1, and then another was 6.3. Then we have this, you know, wars and rumors of wars. The Word of God, as Matthew 24 talks about, you know, this war, Russia, Ukraine, then it's gradually. We've entered the fifth month, and there's no end in sight. And that's quite worrying, because when war drags like that, then the consequences also worsens. And, you know, the worsening conditions are affecting a lot of things in the world. And even our country is going to IMF. One of the reasons is because of the Russian war. this war. So, you know, it's affecting things. So, but then, we'll talk a bit about the war. This one says, NATO readies over 300,000 troops to be put on high alert amid Russia threats. So NATO will significantly increase the number of forces on high alert to over 300,000 from 40,000 as part of the biggest overhaul of the alliance's defenses since Cold War. With Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine changing the security environment across Europe, the head of the alliance also confirmed that allies will expand troop deployments in NATO countries that sit closest to Russia. Ukraine is not a member of NATO, and the decisions will be set out at a landmark summit this week in Madrid. So together, this constitutes the biggest overhaul of collective deterrence and defense since the Cold War, Jens Stoltenberg said in a briefing at NATO headquarters in Brussels on Monday. He said the 30-member alliance is expected to consider Russia to be, quote, the most significant and direct threat to our security, unquote. Allies had already hardened their defenses following Russia's all-out invasion of Ukraine in February, but the latest steps are by far the most significant. We will transform the NATO response forces and increase the number of our high readiness forces to well over 300,000, the NATO chief said. The NATO response force, which are kept at varying degrees of readiness to mobilize from 2 days' notice to 6 months, is currently around 40,000 soldiers, sailors, and air personnel. Sky News was first to report the increase in forces last week before specific numbers were known. Mr. Stoltenberg also confirmed the strengthening of units deployed across 8 eastern and southeastern NATO countries to deter Russia hostilities. They will rise in size from 1,000 strong battle groups to brigades, which comprise around 3,000 to 5,000 troops. Then the next one says Russia has just threatened Poland, preparing to supply nuclear-capable missiles to Belarus. So tensions between Russia and NATO member Poland have been cranking up to boiling point in recent days amid Russian claims that it has killed up to 80 Polish mercenaries in missile strikes. According to the Daily Mail, the reported losses come on the same day that Russia confirmed it has removed a Polish flag from a memorial commemorating the murder of thousands of Poles by the Soviet Union in 1940. To the north, Moscow has been furious over Lithuania's blocking of EU-sanctioned goods from reaching the Russian exclave of Kaliningrad, sandwiched between Baltic state and Poland. This has prompted Poland to call on NATO to further bolster its security presence in the Suwalki Gap, the narrow corridor of territory that connects the three Baltic states to the rest of NATO allies and separates the Kaliningrad from Russian ally Belarus. We are going to seek the reinforcement of this corridor in our talks with our partners from NATO, Maroš Borowski told a news conference in Brussels after the EU summit. Kaliningrad and the Suwalki Gap on Polish territory would be ground zero for any military conflict between NATO and Russia, as Vladimir Putin would immediately move to cut the Baltic states of Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia off from the rest of NATO and shore up the isolated exclave from inevitable NATO strikes. This week, Moscow warned of very tough actions against Lithuania after deliveries of coal, metals, construction materials, and advanced technology were stopped passing through its territory on the way to Kaliningrad. The Lithuanian chargé d'affaires in Moscow was told that unless cargo transit was resumed in the near future, Russia reserves the right to act to protect its national interests. Such talk has prompted Poland to request additional NATO fortifications around the town of Suwalki, in order to safeguard Lithuania's security from Russian incursions. Russian claims of wiping out the 80 Polish fighters will only add to the tensions. Russia threatening to use nuclear because of the tensions, and NATO officially agreed to also add Sweden and then Finland, so the tensions keep going on and on and on. Okay, this headline says, rationing has already begun in Europe as the entire globe plunges into horrific economic nightmare. If countries in Europe are already beginning to ration certain things due to supply problems, how long will it be before it starts happening in the... Okay, this article is United States, but, well, we can ask ourselves here in Ghana. Up until the past couple of years, many of us in the West, Western world, always considered shortages to be something that only unsophisticated poor countries on the other side of the planet had to deal with. But the last couple of years have shown us that painful shortages can happen to the wealthy countries in the Western world too. At first, we were told that they were just temporary, but the months went by and we just kept having more shortages. In fact, in 2022, supply problems have become so serious that many supermarkets in Europe have been forced to strictly ration essential items at various times. For example, it's been reported that due to the war in Ukraine, flour, sunflower oil, and sugar were all being rationed by stores in Greece. After limiting the sale of sunflowers and sunflower oil online, Greek supermarkets are turning to ration the sale of sugar as well, now including in their stores over supply problems. The AB Vassilopoulos is setting a maximum limit on the purchase of all brands of corn and sunflower oil and of flour per customer, whilst my market puts a ceiling on the sunflower oil purchases, and Sclaventis has added sugar to the rationed sales of corn oil through its online store. Go to answer that. With a maximum of 4 packs, the products in high demand from restaurants, some of which said they had to stop selling French fries and other fried goods. Over the past few months, we've seen similar measures implemented in other major European nations as well. For example, the war in Ukraine prompted some pretty severe rationing in Spain. Sporadic shortages of products like eggs, milk, and other dairy products also hit Spain since the war in Ukraine began. And major supermarkets, including Mercadona and Macro, began rationing sunflower oil earlier this month. Now, stores will temporarily be allowed to limit the number of goods that can be bought by a client, according to information on the official State Gazette published on Wednesday. Looking forward, natural gas rationing is the next big thing that many people in Europe are talking about. The flow of Russian natural gas into Europe has been cut back, and it appears that this may soon cause widespread rationing in Italy. Italy may start rationing natural gas consumption to certain industrial giants after Russia's Gazprom halved their supplies on Friday. On the weekend, the newspaper Corriere della Sera reported that the Italian government and energy industry would meet Tuesday and Wednesday to discuss the crisis, with the likely outcome being the introduction of the state of alert under the country's gas emergency protocol. And CNN is reporting that Germany is, quote, one step closer to rationing supplies, unquote, now that Russia has decided to reduce the flow of natural gas going to that country. Europe's biggest economy is now officially running short of natural gas and is escalating a crisis plan to preserve supplies as Russia turns off the taps. Germany on Thursday activated the second phase of its three-stage gas emergency program, taking it one step closer to rationing supplies to industry, a step that would deliver a huge blow to the manufacturing heart of its economy. Of course, there are other parts of the globe that are dealing with problems that are far, far more serious than what Europe is facing right now. As discussed in an article that was posted earlier this week, significant numbers of people are starting to literally drop dead from starvation in portions of Eastern Africa. Global food supplies just keep getting tighter, and the head of the UN is openly telling us that the world is heading into an unprecedented global hunger crisis. So if you have plenty of food to eat tonight, you should be thankful. Here in the United States, economic conditions are deteriorating fairly rapidly, and most Americans are completely and totally unprepared for any sort of major economic downturn. Earlier today, I came across yet another survey that shows that about 60% of all Americans are currently living paycheck to paycheck. Yeah, I saw that report too today. We find that consumers in all income brackets, including those who make more than $100,000 annually, are living paycheck to paycheck. PYMNTS research finds that 61% of U.S. consumers were living paycheck to paycheck in April 2022, marking a 9 percentage point increase from 52% in April 2021, meaning that approximately 3 in 5 U.S. consumers devote nearly all of their salaries to expenses with living with little to nothing left over the end of the month. So what is going to happen when those people start losing their jobs in large numbers? Already we've seen the number of tech layoffs greatly accelerate over the last couple of months. Sadly, the layoffs will get much worse in the months ahead. Then this part of the news, very, very interesting. And I'll talk about it, why it's interesting. Drivers to pay higher gas prices or fuel prices. You know, the US, they call it gas for, you know, gasoline. So higher gas prices for as long as it takes for Ukraine to win, says President Biden. President Joe Biden said during a press conference at the NATO summit in Madrid this week that drivers can expect to pay higher gas prices or fuel prices for, quote, as long as it takes, unquote, for Ukraine to win the war against Russia. I'll explain this. You know, these people. The president was asked by Tim Tankersley of the New York Times, quote, how long is it fair to expect American drivers and drivers around the world to pay that premium for this war, unquote. Then he responds, as long as it takes, Mr. Biden said, Russia cannot in fact defeat Ukraine and move beyond Ukraine. The president blamed Russia for the spiking gas prices as well as global food shortage. The bottom line is ultimately the reason why gas prices are up is because of Russia. Russia. The reason why the food crisis exists is because of Russia, he said. And then his economic advisor, that next news, after I'll talk about these two together. Biden's economic advisor says what we are seeing is for the sake of the future, quote, liberal world order, unquote. Liberal world order. I mean, this is the first time I've heard this phrase, you know, but it's the same new world order, the Great Reset, the same, but this is the first, they are now using, he used liberal world order. The same as the New World Order. Biden economic advisor Brian Deese said that Americans should stand firm on paying record high gas prices because the future of the liberal world order is more important. Let me repeat. He said they should stand firm on paying high gas prices or fuel prices. In essence, he's referring to the whole world anyway. Because the future of the liberal world order is more important. What do you say to those families that say, listen, we can't afford to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years? The director of a National Economic Council was asked on the CNN on Thursday. What you heard from the president. So he was now quoting what, referring to what the president said that I read earlier, that until Ukraine wins, you should be ready to pay as much as you are paying. So he said, what you heard from the president today was a clear articulation of the stakes. This is about the future of the liberal world order. Underline, liberal world order. And we have to stand firm, he replied. This added, at the same time, what I will say to that family and the Americans across the country is you have a president and administration who is going to do everything in his power to blunt those high prices and bring those prices down. You know, if you remember, I've said it a number of times on this program, is that this whole thing we are seeing, this whole mess the world is in and all, it's a planned thing, but the globalists, a planned scheme. It's all geared towards pushing the world into the new world order. So when the president of the U.S. tells you this, that because Ukraine has to win the war, so as to the suffering the rest of the world is suffering, it's their back case. They are more interested in achieving that goal because that's the plan anyway. Because if you hit the sanctions on Russia as they've done, and you keep pushing, the effect is what is happening in the world. But the issue is they don't care. So because if they truly cared, then they would not have, you know, this whole sanctioning regime doesn't make sense in the first place. Because why should somebody in Kumasi here, sitting here in Kumasi, be suffering because of Ukraine? I mean, it's none of our business anyway. Why should somebody in a village somewhere in Zazubtatali be suffering because of Ukraine? But you see, these globalists don't see it that way. To them, the whole world should suffer because of one country. But the agenda is beyond that. It's because they want to set the world, push the world into the great reset they've been talking about, create the new world order. You know, all these things are a planned scheme that they are pushing and they are working on. So it's in their interest that these things continue to push the world to the brink. You know, economic collapse, and then, you know, ultimately lawlessness, chaos. You know, it's all through that, you know, the Antichrist can rise. You know, it's a plan thing that they are working on, the globalists. So what we are seeing is not out of, there's a coincidence, you know. They know exactly what they are doing. But I keep saying that, you know, they know it, but they don't know that their plans also falls in line just with the word of God. So, well, Bible prophecy has to be fulfilled anyway. So human beings are also helping to get these things to come to pass. But we as believers should understand the dynamics of what is happening and the seriousness of the times we are in. That all that is happening is pushing us towards the times of the Antichrist. The Antichrist system is what this thing is all about. And that's exactly what they are seriously and feverishly working on. They don't care about the masses, the inconvenience being created to the masses. No, it's none of their business. Their ultimate aim is to achieve the agenda of the globalists, you know, where they can have the liberal world order, as, you know, Biden's advisor is talking about, the new world order, the great reset, the fourth industrial revolution. It's all about that. But you see, they have a principle that you have to destroy it first, destroy the current order, the world order that we have now. You have to destroy it and then build back better. So they are intentionally destroying the current economic system, the current social system, and then out of that destruction, they can bring back, build back a better world, what they claimed to be the new world order, the great reset. So it's like resetting the world system, destroy it and then build it back better. And so all this social unrest that is about to unfold, it's unfolding and it's about to unfold further and worsen conditions and all. That is the scheme. And that's the plan. But I believe listeners of this program will be understanding the times when the things begin to unfold more and more in the second half of the year. You are going to see things. Yeah, but God will help us. We are really, really going to see things. I've been saying it right from the beginning of the year that we'll be seeing things this year. And the second half is really a time to brace ourselves. That's why we've been talking about these things on this program, building our faith and all this stuff. All right, so the next one says, non-essential petrol sales halted for 2 weeks in Sri Lanka. Those who have been following the international news, you know what's happening in Sri Lanka. By now, the country, the economy has collapsed. You know, that's just one of what, you know, that's how the system is going to be in the times ahead. More countries, economies collapsing. And so Sri Lanka is a classic example of how things are unfolding. Sri Lanka has suspended sales of fuel for non-essential vehicles as it faces the worst economic crisis in decades. For the next 2 weeks, only buses, trains, and vehicles used for medical services and transportation or transporting food will be allowed to fill up with fuel. Schools in urban areas have shut, whilst officials have told the country's 22 million residents to work from home. The South Asian nation is in talks over bailout deal as it struggles to pay for imports such as fuel and food. You know, and on and on and on. You know, if you've seen some of the Nigerian reports where fuel is a big issue in Nigeria now, to get fuel to buy is a whole big deal. You know, so things are happening gradually in various countries. So it's not surprising that we are running to IMF at this time. It's not surprising. Okay. So Nigeria, we have terrorists kill two Catholic priests. You know, this Nigeria persecution is something. Unidentified terrorists have killed two Catholic priests in the Nigerian state of Kaduna and Edo, according to statement by the respective archdioceses, which come a month after two other priests were slain in two other districts in the West African country. The victims have been identified as Father Victor Borogo, a priest serving in the Archdiocese of Kaduna, and Father Christopher Odia from the Diocese of Auchi. You know, it's the Nigeria's issue is so serious. The northern part is now virtually uncontrollable because the government really has lost control in these places. But then we have this next news, which it's okay. Where's that one? The news is missing. Okay, I found it. Okay, so after the Nigerian one, you have Anglican school chaplain fired for caving to LGBT indoctrination, warns of soft totalitarianism. Fired for not caving to LGBT indoctrination, warns of soft totalitarianism. So an Anglican chaplain who was fired and reported to an anti-terrorism program. I mean, what has that got to do with terrorism? Was fired and reported to anti-terrorism program for preaching Christian doctrine, underline Christian doctrine, on sexual ethics during a chapel service is warning about the totalitarian ideologies actively at work in the West. At a breakout session at the International Religious Freedom Summit, a panel of polite persecution, a phrase coined by Pope Francis, assembled by the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank, described how secular abortion and gender activists are putting cherished freedoms in the countries that have historically championed religious liberty. Often, religious persecution is state-sanctioned. This so-called polite kind of hostility is often experienced by practitioners of faiths that adhere to more traditional views about human life, marriage, and material reality of biological sex. In his remarks, the Reverend Bernard Randall recounted how just over 3 years ago, he was an ordained chaplain, was reported to authorities and investigated as part of a government anti-terrorism probe for espousing Christian sexual ethics during a chapel service in the Church of England school. The school had invited LGBT activist Ellie Barnes, founder of Educate and Celebrate, an LGBT education charity, to a staff training session to introduce a new curriculum under the guise of anti-bullying education. He said, noting that no one objects to protecting students from bullying. Yet, he soon found out that there were aspects of this training that were not about bullying but indoctrination of the LGBT ideology. It went so far that at one point, the trainers had the staff chanting about the need to smash heteronormal activity. That's something well beyond not bullying people, Randall said. The LGBT group further taught staff that there are 9 characteristics that are protected under British law, amongst them gender and gender identity. But that is not true, Randall stressed, noting that the trans movement has coerced the public into believing such claims. Since the aim of the educate and celebrate curriculum material is to embed gender identity and sexual orientation into the fabric of our organization, students asked Randall to address the issue at a chapel service. After doing so, he was summarily dismissed from the school for gross misconduct and reported to the counter-terrorism program after he told students aged 11 to 17 that they were not compelled to accept an ideology they disagree with. He also told the students that they could make up their own minds about gender identity and sexuality. Randall added that students could either choose to adopt the thinking of LGBT activists or adhere to Christian sexual ethics, that marriage is only between a man and a woman, and that sex is confined to that context. Most importantly, he advised students to show respect to those who disagree. Quote, I was summoned into what I can only describe as an interrogation by the senior leadership, unquote, he said. I was suspended and I was fired for gross misconduct for doing my job as per the job description. Randall was also reported to the Child Protective Services and the British Government Anti-Terrorism Program as a potential violent extremist. I would like to think that I had reasonably moderate sort of a chap, he said, reiterating how he left the question of believing the claims of LGBT activists open-ended in this chapel remarks. But his firing and being reported to the Government Anti-Terrorism Task Force was a revealing moment showing how far the school's administration had gone to the other extreme. He is now suing the school for religious discrimination, but noted how astonishing it is that he has to take legal action against the Church of England institution for proclaiming Christian beliefs in a sermon during a chapel service. The Christian Legal Center has said has since been representing him. Speaking of the relevance of the International Religious Freedom Summit, the Anglican chaplain stressed that freedom of religion includes freedom from religion. The Marxist progressive ideology at work functions much like a religion, and people should be free from if they wish to be. If Western countries cannot protect their own religious groups from discrimination, there is absolutely no reason that the other countries at which we might point the finger who are violating religious freedom, and they can say to the West and say, you are not taking it seriously, so why should we, he said. And then when asked by the Christian Post, when asked by the Christian Post why gender ideologies won't even allow a disagreement, Randall pointed to its philosophical roots. It seems to me that if we look at the Marxist-type origins of this sort of thing, what's going on is that they are objecting to what they regard as religion and opiate it off the masses, this sort of false consciousness, and they just have to educate us into true consciousness, he said. But anybody who says, oh no, I'm quite happy with my religious ideas, I'm quite happy with this consciousness, I've got already threats to the whole set of concepts. They are a threat to the idea that what everyone believes is false, and the Marxists will take us to this new, wonderful, enlightened utopia. And they cannot tolerate that kind of threat. It's a very totalitarian system, he said. what Randall experienced 3 years ago in the England is what he and others have called soft totalitarianism, whereas what people endure in China is hard totalitarianism. But the difference between them is not as much as we might like to think, he stressed. And this is the abuse that is happening against people standing by their beliefs as Christians. And the next one, also in London, so it also confirms, not too far from what he said, London-based employment tribunal rules that Christians cannot, underline, cannot express their disapproval for transgenderism in the workplace. So a London-based employment tribunal has ruled that the British Equity Act protects Christians' beliefs that do not affirm transgenderism, but they cannot express those beliefs in the workplace. According to the Christian Post, tribunal in England, in London, delivered the judgment Wednesday in a case concerning a Christian doctor whose work contract was terminated over his refusal to refer to a man as a woman. In July 2018, Dr. David Macreth, an A&E doctor with 30 years experience, was forced out of his job in the Department of Work and Pensions. He subsequently took his case to the tribunal, which ruled that biblical beliefs on gender are, quote, incompatible with human dignity, unquote, and not, quote, worthy of respect in the democratic society, unquote. The doctor then sought to challenge that ruling. Wednesday's judgment means that the belief that God created humans as male and female and not transgender is a protected belief under both the Equity Act and the Human Rights Act, said the British charity Christian Calling, whose legal arm in the Christian Legal Center represented the Christian doctor. So that is it. Now, you know, it's really something. I was chatting with a friend. She's in Texas, and she was telling me that, I mean, in public, you just can't speak anyhow, like in the workplace, because you go and say some things now, and somebody will just file a complaint against you. You are this, you are antiphobic, you are this, you are all sorts of, you know, words against you, and you can easily lose your job depending on where you work for some of these slides, things which are not really a big deal, but they are always looking out, you know, to make a case for something that is not a case. And the next news also says that this is in Finland, where the MP who recently was acquitted by the court in Finland for similar persecution issues. She said, Finnish MP Päivi Räsänen decries, quote, heavy hatred for Christian values in the Western society. Finnish lawmaker Päivi Räsänen, prosecuted for voicing her traditional Christian beliefs about marriage and sexuality, believes that a heavy hatred for Christian values in the Western society will cause many Christians to censor themselves for social acceptance. The former interior minister, who has served in Finnish parliament for nearly 3 decades, was one of several global political figures to speak at the annual International Religious Freedom Summit in Washington, D.C. this week. The event aims to increase the public awareness and political strength for the international religious freedom movement. The summit is led by a former ambassador at large for international religious freedom, Sam Brokback, who led similar events at the State Department headquarters during the Trump administration. In March, Räsänen was cleared of hate speech charges for repeatedly asserting her belief that marriage should be between a man and a woman. But her legal battle continues as the prosecution has appealed the ruling to a higher court. She spoke with the Christian Post ahead of her participation in a panel discussion at the summit focused on religious freedom in the Western Hemisphere on Thursday. As she faced the possibility of up to 6 years imprisonment, the 62-year-old politician attributed her prosecution to Finland becoming a post-Christian world where Christian values are in fact a minority. The change has been so fast that it's difficult to understand what is happening, she said. As a wife of a Lutheran pastor and former chair of Finnish Christian Democrats, Rasnin believes Christian values are targeted in criminal court as part of the breaking of the virtue and the challenging of Christian values, and it is now very visible in our societies. In Rasnin's case, she faced hate speech charges over a book she wrote 18 years ago titled Male and Female, He Created Them. Homosexual relationships challenge the Christian concept of humanity. In a 2019 tweet taking issue with the Finnish Lutheran Church's promotion of LGBT Pride Month, she faced a third charge for comments she made on a radio show about homosexuality. Bishop Johanna Pojgla of the Evangelical Lutheran Mission Diocese of Finland was charged with hate speech for publishing Rasnin's book. Rasnin insists that she has no ill will towards homosexuals and suggested that those accusing her of embracing hate speech are the ones doubling in hatred. We all are sinners and we need Jesus. But now I think there is a heavy hatred against Christian values in our society, Rasnin said. If you speak about gender issues, that there are two genders, or that marriage belongs to one woman and one man, it arouses hatred against you in our society. Rasnin told Christian Post that she never thought she could face prosecution for expressing support for classical Christian doctrines about marriage and sexuality, as she openly discussed her Christian values and beliefs about marriage and sanctity of human life throughout her time in Parliament. Nothing has changed in my faith and in my conviction, but suddenly I was like a criminal because of this hate, she said. The world has changed, she concluded. I think that my conviction has not changed, but the world has changed very quickly in Finland, and I think that also in our Western countries, now post-countries, so post-Christian countries. And that is really true. Okay, so we finish off in the U.S., and, you know, recently the Supreme Court ruled the abortion case, Roe versus Wade. But these people, now they are too emboldened. Satanic Temple demands religious freedom for abortion ritual after Roe falls. These people. Considering itself a primary trailblazer in advancing the right to directly kill pre-born girls and boys in the womb, the Satanic Temple of New York City stepped out in front of the parade to lead yesterday's feminists and today's birthing people to what it hopes will be an effective means of restoring unrestricted pre-born killing in areas where it's no longer available. After Friday's glorious overturning of the infamous 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, as leftists responded with rage, calling the decision illegitimate, promising to defy the law in this regard, and even asking how have we not dismantled the government, the Satanic Temple reiterated its own solution: establish religious exemptions under the First Amendment, religious freedom clause, to kill preborn children in their religious abortion ritual. In recent years, Satanists have argued that any restriction to killing of preborn children violates their religious beliefs. In 2015, the Satanic Temple filed a federal lawsuit against Missouri, the state of Missouri, claiming that state laws restricting abortion violate their free exercise of Satanism. In 2020, they launched a campaign titled Satanic Abortions Are Protected by Religious Liberty Laws. And in the wake of the landmark Dobbs decision on Friday, they reiterated their intention to circumvent the resulting restrictions to abortion in many places, calling itself the leading beacon of light in the battle for abortion access, seeking to exploit the same constitutional principle to accomplish the same end of unrestricted abortion. Over 140 Jewish organizations, including the Anti-Defamation League, sponsored a May 17th Jewish rally for abortion justice, publicly affirming abortion access to a Jewish value, and banning abortion is a religious freedom issue. So the adoption of this seemingly new strategy appears to be related to the May 2 leak of the Supreme Court draft majority opinion on the Dobbs case, indicating the anticipated overturning of the Roe versus Wade. So, you know, it goes on. And that's exactly, it's a ritual that they use. I mean, I've read about it. A former Satanist who confessed about how they use abortion as their ritual during the night in abortion clinics and all that. I mean, it's a ritual. They are a major beneficiary of this whole industry. So they are really, really affected by this new law in some ways. So that's why they are angry and they are trying to protest. And it's amazing when you look at the news and the way people are angry, from the president down, you know, Joe Biden, all of them angry. And you ask yourself about what? About killing babies, and they are, how to do they can even push a new law to bypass the Supreme Court. It's serious. From 1973 that this law was, or this ruling was done, 73 till now, estimates have it officially in the US over 60 million babies were aborted. 60 million plus. Wow. They are really populating heaven. Interesting. All right, Issues of Life. This is the program. I'm Eben. I'll be back after this short break. Today we are listening to some songs by Wayne Watson. Old gospel songs.
Yeah.
God's people pray. You know, the words of the song really fits the times we are in. You know, it's like you can see trouble ahead. So that's exactly what the song talks about. Trouble knocking on your window pane, stormy weather at your door, and the outlook for the day ahead, like the day before. People tell you praying changes things, but the words don't stop the fear. The prayer is only pious rambling without a father's ear. He will not turn away when his people pray. When God's people pray and take the pains of earth to the doors of heaven, when God's people pray, there's hope reborn, there's sin forgiven, and miracles you can't explain away when God's people pray. Hopeless situation turns around, dilemma passes by and by. Look, there's a never-ending field of blue past your clouded sky. He alone can do the need in me before a single word begins. The Holy Spirit intercedes for me. I will trust in him. Oh, he will not turn away when his people pray. Then when God's people pray and take the prince of earth to the doors of heaven, when God's people pray, there's hope reborn, there's sin forgiven, and miracles you can't explain away when God's people pray. And then the miracles you cannot explain away. No. When God's people pray, take it to home. When God's people pray, there's hope reborn, sin forgiven, there's hope. That's a beautiful song. When God's people pray. You know, we are in a season where we have to pray. I mean, we can talk about prayer, we can sing about prayer, we can think about prayer, but unless we start praying, it's of no use. It's time to pray. We have to pray. You know, there's no better way to express it than to say we have to pray. Yes, we have to pray. Because, you see, there's a reason why God gives advance notification to his children so that they can do something about it. And that's the whole essence of God giving warnings to his children in various ways, dreams, visions, prophetic warnings, and all that. So if it's not just for fun that God will show you dreams to his children, visions to his children, prophetic words and all that, it's not just for fun. It's, they are meant to be acted upon. You know, those on my morning devotional list, this morning I shared this verse. I talked about it briefly. Let me just read it. Proverbs, I think there are two of such verses in Proverbs, but let me use the 22 verse 3. It says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. You know, if by the grace of God, if you've been listening to this program for some time, I mean, let's just backtrack to barely a year. I mean, the things I've been talking about, the news, the information I've been sharing and all, it should give you a fair idea of the state of the world and what is ahead. You see, so this verse is applicable here. You should be able to foresee what is ahead so that you can act accordingly. You can hide. And in this case, in hiding, a few things one can consider. You know, prayer is one key element of it. It's important we pray, because see, prayer is the only thing you can pray today into the future, and it will work in the future when the time comes. Prayer is a supernatural thing which you can pray ahead of time, and it will act accordingly during at the right time. It's a supernatural thing. And you see, so in foreseeing the evil ahead, one force and one power that we have as believers is prayer. In the sense that, see, there are some things we cannot change. But we can alter the things, the effect of it on our lives. I mean, I tell people all the time, you cannot pray away Bible prophecy. No. I mean, the thing Jesus said in Matthew 24, coming, wars, famine, rumors of wars, pestilences. You know, you cannot pray that those verses should not happen. Then the word of God too is not true. So you cannot pray away Bible prophecy. But we can pray to alter the effect of it in our lives. So the call to prayer is not to change or to cancel. We can't cancel it. I mean, that one, it will be praying a mess, because you can pray and pray and pray. That one, nothing will happen. It won't change it. Because you cannot pray to make God a liar. Because if the word of God doesn't come to pass, it makes God a liar. And that one too, it can't happen. So your prayer is to alter the events, the course of events in your life or whatever, whether your family, whatever, but is to alter things, the effect of it on you. That one, we have that power to do it through the power of prayer. But if we don't act on it, nothing happens. But we have the potential. It's like you've been given a blank check. You've been given the authority to do it. But as to whether we would act on it, that one depends on us. We cannot blame God if we don't do it and something happens. So we have that ability to pray to change the course and the influence and the impact of the times ahead, the things that are unfolding and are going to unfold in our lives. So that's one critical thing we should really look at. We have to pray. There's the times you don't feel like praying. That is even when you need to pray the most. Because you see, that means there is the need to pray, and the devil is doing everything possible to stop you from praying. So the time when you really need prayer the most, that's also when it's difficult to pray. Yeah, but then you see, when we have to understand the times and the need and the urgency and the importance of prayer. So we have to brace ourselves, do whatever, push through, and still pray. We need to pray. It's not like prayer is meant for some prayer tower people. The times we are entering in, you cannot be depending on the prayers of others, hoping and praying, and assuming somebody will be praying for you. No. I mean, we are entering the season, everybody is thinking of himself. Fine, someone may pray for you, but what if that person doesn't pray for you? So you cannot just be banking your hopes on other people's prayers. What if they don't pray for you? What if they are so concerned about themselves and embedding themselves that they forget to pray for you? These are the realities of life. You cannot just bank your hopes on your pastor will pray for you, so you will not pray. No. That's a big error to make. It's time we take the mantle on ourselves to pray. See, we men, married men, fathers, even have a higher role, because you are the priest of your homes. So you have to take that mantle and pray for yourself and your families, because you have to lead. You are the one, the priest for the home. So you have to pray for your family to cover them. You are the one to lead that. If your wife is also prayerful, all the better. But parents have a role to play. I mean, you have to play that role as leaders of your home over the children. You have to pray. We have to teach the children also how to pray. Because we just can't take things for granted. That one, we have to get it clear. We just cannot take things for granted. Because we've entered into a season in which the forces of darkness are going to accelerate the activities at another level. The economic systems are going to start to fail worldwide. It has started. What is happening in Sri Lanka is just one of. Other countries are going to start defaulting as well. Some are going to get into recession, into depression, and all that. Inflation levels are rising. Ghana's number, I don't know. I mean, the government statistician will be giving us the June number soon, and I would not be surprised if our inflation crosses 30% for June. Things are just going up and up and up. and the ripple effect runs through transportation. I mean, as fuel keeps going up, you know, it runs through the system, the effect of it, food prices and all. So these are the realities. These are the realities. The other issues of, you know, food prices and the related challenges that are being predicted to happen in the times ahead, all these things are things we should not ignore. And as believers, we cannot look up to the government for any help. As for the government, they now, you know, they need help, so they run to IMF for help. So how do you even look up to them for help? So obviously, we should know where our help can come from. Our help only from the Lord. Our hope and our help should be towards God, and it's through the channel of prayer. So for we believers, when the unbelievers are lamenting and they are wailing and they are mourning and they are complaining, and they have a right to do so. But we should know that we belong to a different category. We are dual citizens. We have a citizenship as, you know, Ghanaians, but we also have a higher privilege of being citizens of heaven. So if our, you know, human and heavy, I mean, earthly citizenship fails, why do we sit down and lament and complain when we can call on a higher citizenship authority for help? You see, the means for God to help is not limited. No, God hasn't changed. We've been talking about building up the last few weeks and all that. God hasn't changed. We are the ones who change. So it's time we realign our mindset to the fact that we need God's help. We are going to need God's help. So we have to do what is right. We have to live right. We have to put ourselves in a position where when we pray, He would hear us. When we pray, He would hear us. You know, we have to set our priorities right. These are not the times to be engaging in time-wasting things. You know, the time to pray is more important. The time to do other things, spiritual, more important than sitting behind the TV and just watching some soap operas and, I mean, adding no value to your life. I mean, we have to understand the season so that we can walk in that wisdom relating to the season. You see, there's a time for everything, as Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. But a time too comes when you should know that this is not the time for entertainment. This is not the time for things which are just draining your time, just pulling you away from spirituality. These are not the times to engage in those things. You see, it's time we set the priorities right. What is important in these times we are in? What are really the important things in your life? Set them right. You know, and of course, spiritual things should be ahead of physical things. And if you are aligning the spiritual things, you cannot leave out prayer. Because prayer should be our focal point now as believers. Prayer is the only way we can really change some things in us in the times ahead. We are really going to need prayer. Prayer for God's direction. Prayer for wisdom. Prayer for divine protection. Yes, divine protection. Underline that one, because iniquity is going to increase. Crime is going to increase. Lawlessness is going to increase. You know, due to all the ripple effect of things. We will need God's protection. We will need God's direction, God's wisdom. What to do, what not to do, where to go, where not to go. All these things falls in the ambit of prayer. You see, so we need to pray. So if we say that, oh, we'll just relax and just be playing Ludo at this time, when there's prayer to be made, we'll just relax and be watching entertainment when there's prayer to be made. There's nothing like too much prayer. No. There's nothing like too much prayer. There's nothing like it. So as much as we can pray, let's pray. If there are prayer meetings we can join, we can be part of, why not? Let's join. You know, let's really focus. realign our spiritual things and pay attention to prayer, because we are going to need it a lot. Because it will make a lot of difference. Oh yes. If we really do it sincerely and we really, really focus on it well, it will make a lot of difference. You attest to it yourself. You realize that this one, it is God. It is God. See, we cannot just be attracting the miracles of God and the favor of God and the divine provision of God. We just can't be attracting these things if we don't go on our knees and pray. If you have been praying already, God bless you, keep on doing it. But if you are not, please, it's time. I mean, this one is an encouragement and an admonition to start. Make a schedule yourself. I mean, to start praying, make a schedule. If you can fast, add to it, all the better. You see, because, I mean, why wait till the situation becomes so dire before you remember there is God you can call on, when you could have called on him earlier? And you see, the earlier you call on him, it's just like a situation in Ghana. Now, yesterday, the news people said we should have gone to IMF earlier, because some economic experts started advising that the earlier we go, the better. And, well, government two thoughts, they won't go. And now they have to go anyway. So now, those who said they should have gone earlier, I say, you see, we told you so, if you have gone earlier. The situation is, because the process of discussion at IMF, it's not that you go today, no, the money is coming. It's a process. Negotiation can take weeks or months before money will be released in tranches. The first tranche will come. So if you had gone earlier, at least by now, you would have gotten the money you are looking for. So it's just like that. The earlier you start praying, the earlier you start knocking on the doors of heaven, the earlier your responses will be coming. So you don't wait till you are now in a very critical situation before now you start calling on heaven. You see? So that's one reason why we have to start the prayer ahead of time. You know, for listeners of this program, it's a bit, you know, this year's program has been a bit off the normal schedule, because it's a bit more of like ahead of what is coming. And that's how it's going. That's how the Lord is leading it to be, giving you advance information of what is ahead. From last year through to this year. So it's more of ahead of giving you advance information so that you are guided, so that you know what to do. And, you know, it's all God's own plan. We go that way so that his children are not left in the dark and are not caught off guard. It's God's way of giving you advance information so that you can be better prepared, and so that you are not... It's like, we didn't know this was coming. That's not how we thought. No. If God gives you that knowledge ahead of time, it's for a reason. So you just don't listen to issues and you just listen to it and you finish it. I mean, just listening for listening's sake. It's meant to be a catalyst to help you to push ahead and do what you have to do. And that's how it is. Not to scare you. It's not to scare you, not to push fear, and you know that's far from it, because the reason is knowledge is powerful. Knowledge is power, as they say. The fear is the last thing we should consider in these times. We should, because the truth is, we are going to see things that will cause us to be afraid, but we have to refuse to be afraid. Oh yes, the system, world system, local system, we are going to see and hear things that it will push us to be afraid. But because of the knowledge of what we know by the grace of God, it will give us that resistance to fear. Oh, yes. No, it's just like you know something is coming. When you see it coming, compared to someone who doesn't know something is coming, your reaction is different from the one who doesn't know. So that's how it is. So you will be able to sail through the circumstances without fear, because you knew it was coming. You were prepared for it spiritually. You've been praying ahead of it. God, and as you see, the issue with prayer is as you start praying, the Holy Spirit himself will be guiding you in how to pray. The Holy Spirit himself knows it's an individual affair. He knows your circumstances. He knows your situation. He knows. So he will guide you into how to pray. So that's the aspect of the power of prayer we have to equip ourselves with in these times. I'll be back briefly. That song from Wayne Watson, and we'll continue from there.
All I have is now to be faithful, to be holy, and to shine, lighting up the darkness right now. I really have no choice but to voice the truth to the nations, generations. For now and all the days he gives, I am here, and I am his for such a time as this. You, do you ever wonder why? Seems like the grass is all under everybody else's sky, right here, right here, for this time and place, you can live a mirror of his mercy, a forgiven image of grace. For such a time as this, I was placed upon the earth of God and to his will, whatever it is, for such a time as this, for now and all the days he gives. I am here, and I am his, for such a time as this.
You know, there's a reason why God placed you on this earth at this point in time. You know, I'm sure there will be some who might have wondered once or twice, like, why should, I mean, how come we were born at this time of troubles and, you know, problems, difficulties in the world at this time? But God knew why you were born at this time. Yeah, He knew exactly your purpose and your mandate, why you are to be born at the time you were born, and why you are still alive at the time you are alive. So instead of asking God these questions, why did He allow you to be born at this time, let's rather pray and ask Him, what does He want us, what should we be doing for Him? There's a reason why we are still here, and we should not miss the things we have to do for Him. It's important we look at it critically. You know, these are all important things in prioritizing our times. Now we have to now bring to fair. I mean, it's time we analyze these things. We have to be fair to ourselves. How faithful are we being to God? You know, the things we have to do, all these things should, you see, we are at the point where we have to start thinking beyond just material things and what we eat and what, where we sleep. It's time we become more spiritual and start thinking ahead. You know, the times we are in are just obviously, I mean, the end times are upon us. We believe it or not, the end times are upon us. So in thinking ahead, it's time we also start thinking ahead. You know what I mean? Is we have to start building treasure in heaven as well. All these things are important. We have to start thinking along all those things. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we are just passing here as pilgrims. We are just travelers here. We are not going to be here forever, permanently, no. So it's unfortunate that over the years, Christianity has sidelined spiritual things, you know, in terms of heaven-related things. We don't talk about heaven. We don't talk about storing up treasure in heaven. We've become more accustomed to earthly acquisitions than heavenly, you know, treasure storage. We rarely talk about, you know, storing up treasure in heaven. But we can't escape it. It's in the Bible anyway. I mean, so Matthew 6:33 and all stuff like that. We just can't escape it. We have to seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and the rest will follow. Unfortunately, we've rather tried to push ahead the things that should be following, and rather the things that we are leading with. And the things that should have been ahead is rather being left behind. So we don't talk about, you know, storing up treasure in heaven again. We don't talk about going to heaven again. We don't talk about, you know, heaven itself is a no-go area. It's a word we don't want to hear, even as Christians these days, unconsciously. And I mean, not that we will say, oh, don't mention it, but unconsciously, our actions and our statements and our preachings and all, heaven has been left out, whether consciously or unconsciously, but that's the reality. We rarely hear about heaven. We rarely hear about sermons about heaven. You know, it's all mostly earthly based related things. Yes, we are in the earth. We need to survive. We need to eat. We need to be clothed. We need to places to lay our heads. Yes, that's the reality of life. But when all is said and done, when all is set and done. I mean, I just love how Solomon puts it in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let me finish off with that this evening. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14. One of the wisest statements in the word of God. All right. So he concludes the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, the last two verses. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let us hear the whole, it's like the conclusion of the whole matter. So after we've gone to KG, nursery, KG, class 1 to 6, JHS or old school, O level, A level, or SHS, whichever, polytechnic, teacher training, nursing college, university, whatever, master's, PhD. After we've acquired all the certifications, after we've married, we've had our families, cars, nice houses, big businesses, small businesses, many businesses, single business. After we've had all, we've gone life, we've enjoyed life, or did we enjoy life, whichever way it is, when all is said and done, Solomon says, after, that's the conclusion. When we finish this whole thing on this earth, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Interestingly, the whole duty of man has nothing to do with our going to school, our acquisition of academic certifications or material things. That is not the whole duty of man. No. The whole duty of man, fear God and keep his commandments. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So at the end of the day, this is the conclusion that the wise man gives us. And that's the reality of life. After we've struggled, we've built houses, we've done this, all the things we are struggling to do in this life, when we finish, the other side of it is God will bring everything into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be bad, and every secret thing. You see, so we cannot, it will be a grave error to just be living autopilot as if these things don't matter. Because at the end of the day, the things that will really matter when we cross to the other side, you realize the things that really matter are the things that we are not really spending time on. So what should have been the major things in our lives have become the minor. But at the end of the day, it is the minor things that will now become major. And the major will then be also the minor. See, so why then don't we learn to balance things so that at the end of the day, we live the good life and we can also say we please God. At the end of the day, that's the ultimate thing. To please God, fear God, keep his commandments, being living right, doing his will and all. These are the important. You see, so you see, we shouldn't allow the devil to deceive us that we are like we are here forever. We should just forget about the other side. We should forget about spiritual things. Because when the reality comes to the reality, the real end comes. These things, Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14 is activated. As soon as the person dies, it's activated. The end has come. As soon as the person leaves this earth, this two verses is activated. The conclusion has come. So we cannot live as if there will be no conclusion. That would be a grave error. That's why we should encourage ourselves along these lines. We should not forget that there is accountability ahead. There's accountability. It's one of the serious things we don't often talk about. But it's a serious accountability. Even human beings in the offices, when auditors are coming, people are running away. Human beings. When human beings, you have to give account to human beings, people are running away. How much more when you have to give account to God? How did you live your life? That's in essence what Solomon is saying in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14. A summary of what Solomon is saying is just about judgment, like giving account of our lives to God. Whatever we did, accounting to God. You see, so we just cannot live as if there will be no auditing at the end of the whole matter. There would be. There would be. At the end of the whole, the conclusion of the matter, there is going to be accountability to God. It's not to your pastor, it's not to a man. No, I mean, it's to God. So we should not lose our focus. We thank God for this evening. God willing, next week will be coming your way. This one recorded will be put on Issues of Life and in the Telegram group, Spirit Issue. So for the website, spiritissues.info, you can get the previous editions as well. There you can listen or you can download. So I'm Eben. I believe you've been blessed this evening. God willing, next week will be coming your way. Good night and God bless you.
the day ahead like the day before. People tell you praying changes things, but words don't stop the fear. A prayer is only pious rambling without a father's ear. He will not turn away.
There is hope reborn, there is sin.